The following is a paid program.
Health Matters. Health Matters.
Well, what's the difference between a bacteria infection and a viral infection?
A viral infection can predispose you to getting a bacterial infection.
Each week, we address health issues, talk about treatments, prevention, and ways to stay healthy.
Coronary artery disease is the most common form of heart disease in the U.S.
When do you consider using a stent versus conservative care?
Brought to you by Integrated Rehabilitation Group, physical and hand therapy clinics throughout the Puget Sound area, where you receive excellent care with exceptional results. Now your hosts, Maury Eskenazi and Shannon O'Kelly.
Okay, well, good evening, everyone. Shannon O'Kelly here alone tonight. Maury Eskenazi is on vacation, but I do have my friend Gio Newland, who's next door, going to help us out on the board tonight. We want to wish Tom Lafferty an excellent game tonight. Tom is out at the Everett Aqua Sox. He's going to be doing the PA announcing tonight. And we're excited to have two gentlemen here with us tonight. We have Gary Wickman from Providence Regional Medical Center, Director of Respiratory Care Services, and Dr. Tom Zadowski, Medical Director and Section Chief of Pulmonary and Critical Medicine for Western Washington Medical Group. What do you think of that, Gio? That's a mouthful, isn't it?
That's a big old mouthful for you there, Shannon. You got to get that one all out.
Yeah, pulmonary medicine. We're talking about respiratory and our lungs. Let's talk out loud here, gentlemen. Let's talk about the lungs and how the lungs function. Just set us up anatomical and physiologically, because lungs are very important. If your lungs are bothering you or not working, I mean, we feel it, and you folks deal with people that have problems breathing on a daily basis. So let's talk about the lungs.
Well, it's pretty simple. Lungs are really big bags full of air. You take a breath in, the air comes in, the air goes through tiny little air sacs called alveoli, where the oxygen gets extracted and gets into the bloodstream. And the bloodstream takes it to heart, and the blood circulates it throughout your body. So there's two functions. One is to get air in, get oxygen in. The second part is to get rid of the byproduct of your metabolism, which is carbon dioxide, so then you can exhale it out. So breath in, breath out, pretty simple.
Pretty simple when everything's working right. Gary, you know, you're a respiratory therapist, and Dr. Zadowski, you're a pulmonologist. So I want to stop and talk about what your roles are in treating patients with lung disease. Gary, let's start with you.
Okay, thanks. So respiratory therapists deal with helping people that are having trouble getting air in and out of their lungs. So we would assist Dr. Zadowski with things like giving medications to help open their airways. We might even assist them with breathing with a ventilator, a breathing machine. So anything in between when you are born and when you pass on, we would help you, assist you in taking care of those lungs.
So you're talking about the lungs, and the lungs function from a physical therapist standpoint. We appreciate the fact that the lungs function almost like a bellow. I mean, you've got pressure changing, and the rib cage is really involved, and some of the muscles around the rib cage are very important to breathing. Do you do anything intervention-wise from a musculoskeletal standpoint, or mostly from a lung function?
Well, we do a little bit from a muscular skeletal point of view. If a patient has a lot of secretions built up in their lungs and they need some assisting in getting those out, they can't cough as well as they need to get rid of those. We can do something called chest physiotherapy. We kind of clap on the back a little bit and help mobilize those secretions so they can cough them out. So, yeah, we do a little bit of that.
So, Dr. Zadowski, in your business, what is the biggest problem or biggest pathology you see in lung disease?
Well, unfortunately, the biggest problem is tobacco and smoking. I mean, that leads to a lot of respiratory ailments. You know, we see a lot of people with asthma, but also with COPD, lung cancer, pulmonary fibrosis, and many other respiratory problems. So, you know, a lot of it is related to environmental factors. But things like asthma, you know, even though tobacco can obviously worsen it, a lot of it is environmental. It's allergen-mediated. There's other medical problems that can affect asthma. Even, you know, your standard allergies, having cats and dogs and birds, all of these things can contribute to your asthma symptoms.
And so when you talk about asthma, let's break it down, and you talk about the lungs being this area of gas exchange, oxygen, carbon dioxide, in and out. What is going on in asthma that affects that, the lungs' ability to exchange that gas?
So as we take a breath in, and the air goes through a whole bunch of small tubes called bronchi, and they get smaller and smaller till the air and oxygen reach the tiny little alveoli at the end of it. What happens in asthma, there's significant inflammation and thickening and secretion of mucus within the bronchi, which leads to decreasing the diameter of the bronchi, and people develop kind of like an obstructive mechanism. It's kind of like breathing through a straw. The straw gets smaller and smaller, so it's difficult for patients to take a breath in and difficult for them to get rid of the air to exhale out.
Okay, so if we simplify it, basically asthma is something induces a response. I guess sometimes we call it a trigger, and that trigger might be animal hair, grass clippings, something that you're breathing in that causes your body to overreact to that trigger and become inflamed?
Correct. So that's component of it. There's extrinsic components like dog and cat and dust and other things, but also people have intrinsic components. So people can have kind of hyperactive, let's say, their own immune system that triggers inflammation with the airways. There is a whole bunch of different mechanisms for different pathways that lead to airway inflammation and leads to the same symptoms of asthma as you would have with exposure to let's say, a cat.
Okay. Asthma, is it a disease that you pick up early in life? Can you get it later life, midlife? I mean, is there a certain time, gender, who gets asthma?
So, yeah, you can get it early in life. Children have it, and you can get it later in life. So you can pick it up pretty much at any point. The thing that we can do, the other thing that, about asthma is that there's muscles around the airways as well. And so those muscles constrict, and that also aids in the obstruction. And we can give some medications that will help relax those muscles so that people can take a deeper breath.
And the symptoms of asthma, I've seen it, and I know people that have experienced it. It's difficulty breathing. I mean, you get under some distress if you have a significant attack. Tell us about some symptoms of asthma. How would you know maybe you're allergic to something that's going to cause an asthmatic response?
Well, it could be anything from mild symptoms quite severe. I mean, some folks can have mild symptoms that may include mild cough, occasional wheezing. Some of it can be induced by exercise. Let's say if you go running on a cold evening, and it's 30 degrees, not today, obviously. And people can have symptoms at that time, and they get better when they stop. Some people have symptoms more persistent or recurrent, nighttime symptoms. Some people can have quite severe symptoms, daily wheezing, daily shortness of breath, daily cough. And for those people, and that's, what we consider severe, persistent, chronic asthma, those symptoms can be quite debilitating.
So the three big symptoms are wheezing,
cough, shortness of breath.
Shortness of breath. So again, people that have difficulty breathing, which is very uncomfortable for the patient.
Absolutely.
And if you have a significant attack or an acute attack, I mean, it can be scary for the patient and people around them, particularly I can imagine for parents and young athletes if you get one of these attacks during a competition.
Yeah, what I recommend to people to really sense what patients experience is to take a straw, and go run around the block breathing through a straw. This is what patients really experience.
So the goal in treatment then is to enhance that air exchange. I mean, open those bronchial tubes up and allow the air to exchange more freely so you're not struggling to get air. Is that basically it?
Yes. Yes, we would want to and open up the airways so that you can both breathe in and breathe out. So it's an obstructive disease. So that's where the wheezing comes in. It's harder to breathe out. So, both of those.
Tell us about this new technique that I believe only Providence is providing right now. That my understanding is maybe you can explain a little bit, but it's the bronchial thermoplasty. Is this a fairly new technique in this area?
It's relatively new. It's something that was just recently approved last year by FDA. It's been used in clinical trials for a number of years, and we've been lucky enough to obtain it last year. But before I mention that, just want to back up a second and, and mentioned the fact that really the importance of therapy also with patients is with medication. So make sure that patients do receive adequate medication, both medications to make the airways bigger and relax them, as Gary said, with bronchodilators, but also with inhaled corticosteroids, which have really helped over the last few decades to actually decrease the inflammation in the airways. So bronchial thermoplasty is really a technique that's something we can use for patients with the most severe symptoms. This is not for people with mild occasional asthma or exercise-induced asthma. This is people that have persistent chronic symptoms that occur daily, people that have frequent exacerbations. And by exacerbations, we mean episodes of bad bronchitis, worsening symptoms that usually require large doses of corticosteroids, either IV or IM, intramuscular injections, or oral steroids, and increasing dose of their standard medications. So people that have poor symptoms and poor symptom control despite being sort of maximized on their standard therapy can benefit from bronchothermoplasty. What we do during the procedure, we do bronchoscopy, which is actually entering somebody's airway. It is a minimally invasive and quite safe procedure. We do it under anesthesia, and through the bronchoscopy, you advance a small catheter into the airways, and through the catheter, there's a little probe on it. Then we can administer radio frequency energy to the airways. And by administering the energy, we can decrease the smooth muscle burden around the airway that contributes to the airway obstruction and pretty much decrease the smooth muscle so the airway does not obstruct as much and doesn't bronchoconstrict during these severe asthma attacks.
Are you, the word thermoplasty, are you burning the tissue or heating the tissue up so it doesn't have the elasticity to constrict? What are you doing there?
You're heating it up. So radio frequency energy, you're heating up the smooth muscle around the airway, thus decreasing the smooth muscle burden, the thickness of the muscle. So the muscle won't have as much strength to constrict the airway and obstruct the airway.
And how do you know where to put your scope and what area to really provide the treatment?
Well, years of practice.
Years of, yeah, there you go. I mean, I can imagine. It sounds complicated. Before we get to the procedure, I mean, are you doing this under some kind of guidance? Are you doing an MRI, a CAT scan, or X-ray where you know where this probe apparently is going?
No, so we do it. Bronchoscopy is a procedure when we advance a scope, kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. if people have colonoscopies or endoscopies, other thing, but it's much smaller, about the thickness of a pencil with a camera at the end. So I go through the mouth, through the airway, through the trachea, into the smaller airway, so I can see exactly where I am. I can be the right upper lobe, right lower lobe. I can see exactly where I am, and I go as far as my bronchoscope will allow me to before the airways get too small.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that location, I pull back a little and advance the radio frequency catheter. So this is done under direct view, and I see exactly where the catheter is positioned. It takes some time because there's a lot of airways, and we have to treat every single one, and you can only treat approximately 1 to 1.5 centimeters at a time. So you advance the catheter, apply the energy for about 10 seconds, pull it back a centimeter, do it again. It takes about 30 minutes to do the procedure to treat the airways. And the procedure itself, we can only treat one area of the lung at a time for mm-hmm. safety reasons. So we usually to treat the whole, both lungs, involves three procedures, usually spread apart by about 3 weeks.
Is this a fairly new technique? Is this a technique that's new to Providence? I mean, who's been doing it and how to get started? Tell us a little bit about the history.
So it is new to Providence. As Dr. Zdalski said, we started it. We've done our first patient this year already. So but the technique has been around for a number of years. As a matter of fact, it's been around long enough to have 5-year data. So they did a trial, which is how these mm-hmm. kinds of things happen.
What are those results? Are they good?
So yeah, they're very good. The number of times people are admitted to the hospital in the emergency department and the number of exacerbations that they have decreased tremendously, and the number of days that people lose from work because of that have been decreased tremendously.
Is there an age population range that works best? I mean, I'm thinking about adolescent and young kids growing, and I'm sure their lung tissue is growing with their body. I mean, are they a good candidate, or is it after growth?
So, yeah, that's a good question. So this is an adult procedure. I think our criteria is 18 and older. So it's not that it might not work in pediatric patients, but it hasn't been studied there yet. Mm-hmm. So this is an adult procedure.
And so far the risks are good versus potential complications. And what are the risks in this procedure?
So as lung doctors, we always get a little nervous, you know, doing procedures in the airways around patients with asthma, because it can sort of exacerbate things. So the data from the trials are pretty good trials, show that, you know, there are some small increased risk in potentially having worsening symptoms right after the procedures. And it's we usually decrease the risk by giving somebody a few days course of prednisone before the procedure and right after the procedure, so decrease the inflammation. The risk were pretty small. There's really no terrible side effects or anything like this. Can people can have some little more shortness of breath or wheezing or cough for a day or two. But, you know, the really the benefits, which the data had data, there was data for up to 5 years, show, as Gary mentioned, significant reduction by 70% of exacerbations and ER visits and days of lost from work and school. So that those are really significant outcomes for asthma population when other treatments have failed.
Yeah, and how many treatments? Is it a one-time procedure, or do you have to come back over a series of X amount of weeks, or
right.
What is the procedure and the process and basically the protocol?
Right. Okay. So, yeah, it's three separate procedures separated by 3 or 4 weeks. So it takes a few months to get it all done. Before we do the bronchoscopy, we will do a pulmonary function test to just check the lung function and see how the asthma is happening on that at that time. And if things are good, then we can proceed. And then after the bronchoscopy, we'll do some more pulmonary function tests to see if what we did had any effect on them. So
you do obviously you're doing a pre-test and a post-procedure test.
Correct.
And that's where you're finding, and you can tell if the results or it was beneficial.
Well, you probably won't tell right away if it's beneficial, but you'll tell if they have an exacerbation. Like Tom was saying, a few people get their asthma gets spun up during that time, and we just want to make sure that they're breathing as well as they came in before we let them go.
After the procedure, are there patients that can reduce medication and increase their quality of life?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the idea. You know, the studies show significant improvement in quality of life and reduction of medications, especially medications with significant long-term side effects such as prednisone. You know, prednisone can cause osteoporosis, increased risk of infections, etc. So really try to minimize this medication, you know, in the treatment of asthma. And the less exacerbations you have, the less prednisone you'll be using. You know, again, we started a procedure just last year. And with the first patient that we did it on had been on multiple doses of prednisone pretty much chronically over the last few years with several hospitalizations. And since we completed the procedure, you know, we've been very lucky when we've been able to wean the prednisone dose down and the patient has not had any further exacerbations and hospital visits. Again, this is our anecdotal experience right now with just starting the program. And we hope, you know, to grow it over the next several years.
And is it an inpatient or an outpatient procedure?
So it's an outpatient procedure. You know, people come in for a few hours to have the procedure done. So,
and I have to ask, insurance cover this?
Yes, it does. It is Medicare has approved it, and there's billing codes. However, it has to be pre-authorized by the insurance company before you can have it paid for.
Okay. I mean, this sounds like a great option for someone who has one of these chronic asthmatic situations that's very uncomfortable with good results. Just to summarize, it's an adult procedure.
Yes.
You do it outpatient. It takes three treatments spread out over several weeks. And there's really not any significant complications that you have seen or found.
Correct.
Good stuff.
We're very excited. I mean, it gives an amazing option for some of our most sick patients.
And how would someone get a hold of you if they wanted more information regarding the bronchial thermoplasty?
So they can call Dr. Zendalski's office at 425-252-1116.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good information.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.